Yeah, I'm just really excited to be able to find this recording 10 years from now and just to,
oh, that's gonna be
to
awesome.
Think through this moment. Okay, well, are you guys ready to kick this thing off?
Oh, oh yeah, baby.
Awesome. Okay, well, I'm gonna take a deep breath and then we're gonna go for it. Well, welcome to the first episode of the Facilitator's Guide. Thank you all for taking the listening leap with me. I want to give a special shout out to the show's first guests, Mark Ryder and Benny Narstad. We'll formally introduce them in a second, but I wanted to give them a shout out because they've been absolutely crucial sources of support and momentum to make this whole thing happen. We were co-facilitators this past week, and they have been the driving catalyst for me to take a leap and to start a podcast, which has been amazing. So I first want to start off by saying thank you, Benny and Mark. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
happy to be here. Happy to take the listening leap.
Wonderful. So I'm going to formally introduce you guys in a moment, but because this is the first podcast, I wanted to lay down a couple rules of engagement for us three and also for everybody listening in. And so this whole first podcast is all about kind of a laboratory, a testing experience, and creating a learning experience. So what I'm looking for from you two and from our listeners is support in a couple ways. So the first is this one is going to be all about experimentation. So for you two, we've got total freedom to try to mess things up and to do things differently and like to live fire, make it happen. So that brings me to the second point is creative play. So I think that this is definitely a space of like, what if, or like, let's see what happens if we do this or try this. So whatever you two want to contribute here and listeners tuning in, if you want to help us contribute to the structure of this, like fire away. I think the third thing is I want to share like in helping kind of set this up so far was I was really running into a challenge about an expectation of being perfect. So for us, I'm going to need your guys' help and like not being perfect. And cause I like started to listen to my own voice and was like, oh shoot, like I'm screwing some of this stuff up. And so this is, I think the beauty of a podcast is that it's all about rawness and authenticity. So I'm going to need your guys' help to bring that.
Cool. Absolutely. Happy to keep things authentic.
Yeah. Awesome. And then the last one, and this is especially for everybody tuning in, is feedback, please. Welcome to episode one and any, there it is, rawness and messing up.
Not perfect.
Boom. But yeah, any feedback that anybody's got or like questions that resonated, the topics that are super helpful, let us know. Even if like you hate it and you think my voice sounds like a squirrel or something weird, like let it rip and let us know. And one cool thing is through Anchor, I'm already in love with this whole platform and how it just simplifies being able to just like launch a podcast so quickly is you can leave a voice message. So if you want to give us a shout out or ask a question live on the voice, like go through the Anchor app and give us a shout out. So that's it. Experimentation, creative play, not being perfect, and feedback. That's our ground rules, man.
Gosh, you know what?
Love it.
I think if there's anything I know about the three of us, is that we love feedback. So I'm excited to get some.
Absolutely. So speaking of feedback, so since this whole thing is new and we're still sort of experimenting with format, I'd love to open up by not introducing you, but open up with a question for how would you both prefer to be introduced? Like if you could imagine any introduction for who you are, what would it be? Like how would you want that introduction to be?
I think I'd prefer someone who knows me close, who really understands me to introduce me, followed up by someone I just met to introduce me. Right. So someone who has a deep sense of who I am, giving some highlights about, things I've accomplished both personally, whether that's races I've run or trips I've taken, and then also where they think my potential is with a career since I'm so early on in my career, to talk about those things. And then it'd be great to have someone who's just met me to introduce me to give a first impression. I think that'd be really interesting.
I love it. It's like the brand alignment test. Well, so Benny and Mark, I do have an introduction plan for you both. So like, we'll put that to the test. And for anybody listening in, if you want to send in a voice message of your introduction for Mark, that would be pretty epic.
That would be, yes. Sounds like he's been smoking for 15 years. A little scratchy. Just sorry about that.
Edward James Olmos bringing the noise. Benny, what's your dream introduction, man?
I think I prefer my introductions very short and sweet. I've noticed that a lot of times when guys get up there and they're, you know, talking about their professions and everything that they've done, while very cool, I tend to zone out before they've even started talking, which I don't think is a great thing. And secondly, I think a short introduction gives you a blank slate, allows you to kind of bring whatever you're going to bring to the table, and people don't really have, it allows you to give the first impression really instead of somebody else. So I think short and sweet is the way I'd like to go.
Short and sweet. Well, I think that's incredible, like, audience perspective. And so anybody who's facilitating, you know, definitely take notes about the short and sweet blank slateness from Benny Narstad. So are you two ready for your introductions?
I think so.
Cool. All right. I'm going to need some feedback afterwards, though. I want to see how these came out. All right. So here's my version. Let me introduce you to our guests and co-facilitators from this past week. They've been a huge forcing function for bringing this podcast to life, Mark Ryder and Benny Narstad. Mark Ryder hails from heaven on earth, also known as Des Moines, Iowa. Mark is the former amateur announcer for Davenport Central High. And as a higher ed professional working in the world of admissions, he is on a quest to generate magnificent light bulb moments and inspire people to pursue knowledge and their best selves. He is also an endeavoring ultramarathoner, Mark Ryder. And this is when everybody, like, usually for an event, like, gives a round of applause, and there it is. Okay. All right, Benny, are you ready? Next up, joining us today for our first ever episode of the Facilitator's Guide is Benny Narstad. Some mythic hero origin stories begin along the lines of raised in the wilderness or he lived among the wolves. Benny was raised by bulldogs, figuratively and literally. And he brings the same tenacity, love, persistence, and directness to everything he does. By trade, he's in the technology consulting world, and he brings an avid pursuit of peak performance and efficiency, including his work in facilitating. Benny Narstad. Round of applause. Everybody goes wild. Woo! All right, what'd you guys think? Feedback.
It was beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah, that's me. You summed it up right there.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. That's awesome. For everybody tuning in, I hope you appreciate that, and because those are some of the key characteristics of two incredible people and what they're all about. All right, cool. So let's kick off the formal question. So you know, this whole podcast is about diving into experiences and stories that help people make meaningful experiences. So what experience have you been to recently that's rocked your world, or one that you have helped run that's rocked your world?
Wow. I'll go first, if that's all right with you, Benny.
Take it away.
We just got back from facilitating at Sigma Phi Epsilon's national convention called Conclave, ironically named after what they used to elect the Pope. We just set the agenda for the next 2 years at our fraternity's conference. And those of you who don't...
I didn't know that it was called Conclave. Or that, yeah. That's how the Pope was elected.
Oh, that's the name of it. Yeah, that's 8 years of Catholic school paying off right there. but yeah, for those of you that don't know about SIGEP and what our mission is it looks very different from your standard view of a fraternity. We're more focused on leadership development, personal development, and that's what the three of us actually had the opportunity to help facilitate. I facilitated the personal and leadership development track. Patrick was working on professional development. Benny was focused on chapter operations, so running recruitment, focusing on the Balanced Man program, which we might get into at some point in time. But essentially, it's 4 years of meaningful development and growth that we have a system in place for our college students. But we facilitating these different sessions, we got a chance to work with some world-class individuals and listen to them give their tips and advice to 18 and 22-year-olds. And I really took a lot away from it as well. But the biggest thing that rocked my world at Conclave was a really simple exercise that Chris Jarvis, who I don't have his full bio in front of me, but I don't even need to give that going off of what Benny's ideal intro looked like, because if this is what he did, he had us clasp our hands together, look at which thumb was on top with fingers interlaced, then shake your hands out, and then clasp them back together the other way with your other thumb on top. And he said, you know, just think about how uncomfortable that is with your hands right there. Your brain is not wired to enjoy change. It doesn't like things when they're uncomfortable or different. And so we need to get used to being in that uncomfortable space, from something as little as how you hold your hands together to something as big as how you develop a relationship with your boss. And later in the session, he led us through a visualization exercise, where he had us close our eyes and imagine we were standing on top of a building. And he described, you know, the wind blowing and looking down over the top of the building and how small the cars and the people were down at the bottom. And, you know, as he was leading you through this, my palms started sweating and I could feel my shoulders tensing up. And when we were done and he had us open our eyes and we realized we were just in this hotel conference room, he's like, this is the point I'm making, is our brains can't tell the difference between what is visualized and what is reality.
Ooh.
And that was huge for me, because I realized, and he went on to elaborate further and saying, when you worry about something, when you're, you know, anticipating something's going to go wrong, your brain is already wiring itself for that thing to go wrong. So then when you're in that moment, your brain goes the direction it knows to go, and it's probably going to go in the way that you were worrying about. So if you're able to recognize that you need to change something, that or when you recognize that you're getting nervous about something. So this has happened a few times following the session, but I've noticed my palms getting sweaty before making a difficult decision or having a difficult conversation. And that's now a cue for me to realize, like, oh, okay, my brain is going towards some worrying about something. I need to visualize whatever I'm about to do in a positive way. And I've done that for a few things already this week, and it has been amazing to see how much, just how I feel more like myself. I feel more aligned with who I am because I'm choosing to act a certain way, recognizing that something's going to be difficult, and then making the decision to move forward in a way that I think 2 weeks ago I would have worried about and fumbled over. Instead, I've nailed it. It's been amazing.
Wow. Yes. That sounds like it rocked your world.
It did. That's the accurate description of it.
Heck yeah. Do you have any like tips or prompts for anybody listening in who wants to try that power of visualization, or things that you pay attention to?
I think just walking through, like, taking a moment to be more thoughtful, to think about what you're about to do or what is about to happen or the conversation you're about to have. And just take a moment to realize, to be conscious in that moment. Before I ran through that exercise, I just was essentially on autopilot, running through things, just responding how I normally respond. Taking a second to think about the conversation that I'm about to have has allowed me to act and feel more aligned with who I am.
I love that. That reminds me, I attended a and Chris Jarvis and I talked about this at our session, and just to validate everything you just said, like, he ran that activity in our session, in the professional development session, and everybody also had, like, equally a physical and visceral response to that activity. So I can't validate that enough. But this yoga practitioner talks a lot about, you know, you have stimulus and then you have response, and in that space is, like, that power to choose. And what you were sharing about, like, feeling like you were unconscious, and now using that to generate sort of and choosing your responses and choosing your how you're aware and take action. That's awesome, man. That's cool. That's power life right there.
Oh yeah. It's helped me in my job. It's helped me outside of job. And that's only 5 days following this. I mean, I'm really excited to keep it going.
Yes. Yes. Benny, what experience has rocked your world recently?
Yeah. It's similar to Mark. Like you said, we were all at Conclave together. Luckily for Mark and Patrick, you guys got some awesome topics to talk about in terms of professional development and leadership and personal development. I was doing chapter operations, so more of the accountability and recruitment and as Mark talked about, the Balanced Man program. So less exciting topics, kind of dry at points, a little heavy at times. But I think watching the facilitators facilitate those topics and seeing how they were able to turn a heavy or dry topic into something with a little bit of levity and kind of gain credibility through humor and making it a little bit more fun, not only got the guys more engaged and brought more guys to the session, but it allowed them to get their point across more effectively than if they had just, you know, rattled off the points and done that and left. The facilitators that actually used humor, a little bit of self-deprecating humor at times, to kind of get the guys to see that, you know, I'm not so different than you guys. I can still make fun of myself, and then kind of get into the topics. I thought that was awesome to see, and just something to apply moving forward is how to kind of gain that credibility.
Definitely. So using levity to sort of bring people in and to make them feel a part of the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do you so just as to help illustrate a little bit of an example, because we're also going to dive into this a lot deeper. But like, are there any specific examples that stand out to you, or somebody that you saw that did it really well? And do you have like a scenario or situation where you're like, yes, now people are in?
Yeah. So I think one of the facilitators, Riley Little, he was facilitating about the Balanced Man program, which as Mark talked about, it's kind of a 4-year development plan or program throughout college students' entire time in college, kind of supplementary to what they are learning in the classroom. It can be a little bit of a boring topic to touch on or to talk about for an hour, but Riley kind of brought his own unique sense of humor. He had the guys do a quick exercise in the very beginning where he had a corner that was strongly agreed, corner that was agree, a corner that was disagree, and a corner that was strongly disagree. And he just had like wild topics. I forget what they were, but I remember thinking like, this is awesome. this is literally just like getting them to laugh and like kind of defend their own opinion and then like getting them bought into something that had nothing to do with the session, but still like brought that levity, brought that humor. And then he actually got into the session and they were way more engaged than they had been. It was also at 9 a.m. on a Saturday after, you know, 3 days at Big F Conflict. So these guys were tired. So it kind of brought the energy back up in the room.
Absolutely. Riley Little, if you're listening, you're getting a ringing endorsement from Benny Narstad. And for anybody who has the luck and joy to experience the humor of Riley Little, he is a hilarious, just bundle of joy to be with. So absolutely.
Joy is the perfect word for Riley.
Bundle of joy. Awesome. So let's zoom out a little bit. So because our whole experience co-facilitating together, you know, began almost 2 weeks ago now at this point. And thinking through for somebody to create a meaningful experience, you know, I know we spend a lot of time, and I know that a lot of people in the space spend a lot of time in preparing for creating a really meaningful moment for people. And so for you two, can you share a little bit about like your preparation process? Like what's your pre-experience process to get ready, whether that's, and I'll say a lot of things, but feel free to drill into one of them, but like to get ready energetic, like with your energy, you know, to be emotionally present or, you know, physically feeling sharp or mentally sharp. Can you share a little bit about like your preparation process for your sessions?
Yeah, I'm happy to.
Yeah, I mean, I think,
go, Benny, go.
All right. I think that for me, it was not too in depth. I think the biggest thing was thinking about how or what we wanted these guys to learn from the session each day. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there were 2 or 3 sessions each day. Figuring out what we wanted them to learn, how we were going to get them there, and then like what we wanted them to feel walking away from that. And kind of getting in that mindset. If we wanted them to, be insightful and inward-looking, kind of myself also doing that, and beforehand to kind of being a little bit more introspective. If we wanted them to be more action-oriented, thinking about, all right, these are the, you know, these are the actions, these are the exact steps that I'm going to take over the next couple of hours. So kind of getting into the same mindset that I wanted them to leave, I think was pretty helpful.
Yeah. So So what do we want them to walk away with? How are we going to get them there? And then how do we want to make them feel? Those are the three questions that you were reflecting on.
Yep.
Those are super powerful. I love that. Mark, your thoughts?
Very similar in a lot of ways, but I'll talk about the differences I have just in my personal preparation process. I think about everything Benny's talking about right there. And I set a few intentions for, I try and think of a specific student, and just not one like by name, but I try to imagine a student that I'm going to be working with, or a student that's going to have a question, or all the different kinds of all the different baggage that students are bringing to a session. And I try and get myself in the mindset of who's going to be in the room. And I set an intention for what I hope they take away from this, even if it's just one thing. And then I set that to the side and I take 3 minutes to just feel gratitude. So while I do that, I try and find my pulse just to get in touch with my body and understand where my heart rate is at, how I'm feeling. And I try to take a few deep breaths and just feel gratitude for three completely random things. It could be something that happened somewhere in, a long time ago, something that happened today. But then I always try and make the third thing something very insignificant, like the breeze or the way the sun is shining, or a smile that someone gave me while I was, walking down the street that day. And just try and find something really simple to be grateful for, because when you feel gratitude, it's really hard to feel any sort of negative emotions. And getting yourself in a beautiful state of mind is if you're coming into a session thinking about all the different things that have happened to you throughout the day, you're not going to facilitate well. And getting yourself into a place where you're feeling gratitude is so powerful. But I find that setting an intention beforehand, then getting into that state, I find a certain amount of clarity in what the message needs to be for that student who I was imagining beforehand. And then there's always just this moment of clarity. And actually, on the first night, I had the opportunity to lead all of the 60 guys in the room through 3 minutes of that guided meditation. And I think by that point, I had been pretty energetic. I think another big thing that I do is get my body moving. I want to make sure the blood is flowing and that I can bring the energy. Because if you want them to bring energy, you've got to double it. I don't know what the exact ratio is there. But I know if you want your participants engaged, you've got to be engaged. And you got to give them permission to be engaged. So I had been pretty off the walls for the first 3/4 of this session. And I think I had about 60% of the room bought in. But when I led them through this guided meditation at the end, talking about priming their minds and getting them ready for the day, I led them through this meditation saying, this is a great way to center yourself and get yourself ready to participate. When they opened their eyes at the end of it, I had a very, very significant, very good, significant portion of the room opened their eyes, and it was just on fire. It was like everyone was bought in. And the next morning to this completely optional session, they could have gone and floated down the Texas-shaped Lazy River that was available to them. We had about 95% participation or retention from the night before. So they were jazzed and ready to be engaged and be in that space for learning.
Yes. I love that. And I think the notes that you make about the importance of setting the energy bar and how that impacts everybody else's willingness, because as high as you set the energy, that's essentially the upper limit. And also too, and we might talk about this later, but in terms of getting quality input from your group and engagement, you also sort of set the input bar with your vulnerability and the quality that you bring with yourself. And I really appreciate you bringing that up, Mark. I got a follow-up question for you. What's the most recent thing that you've set as a gratitude intention? What are you grateful for right now?
Ooh, great question. Yesterday was my dad's birthday. And so yesterday I woke up and I started my day, and my intention, all three intentions, had to do with him. And I gave him a call, and it was just one of the best phone calls him and I have had in a while following that. So it was really neat to connect with him. In a way that was just a little bit on a meaningful day, and it was a more meaningful conversation than we normally have. Usually it's just about the White Sox or complaining about the Bears. So it was neat to you know, have that be the start to my day, and then it actually turned into something. You know, I put it into action, and it was powerful.
That's wonderful. It was my mom's birthday on Monday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Hey, that's great.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Patrick's mom.
Happy birthday, Mr. Ryder, and happy birthday, Monica Gallagher.
Fantastic.
So a follow-up question for you both, and I was going to ask this at the end, but I think this is, like, you know, Mark, when you're talking about gratitude and appreciation, one of the things I was thinking about is, you know, because we get a chance to be on the line together recording this, do you have any special shout-outs or any people in your life that you want to show appreciation for right now? Ooh, I'll take the silence as I'm thinking about that. There are too many people.
Benny, I've been talking a lot, so I was deferring to you there.
Oh, okay. I will shout out my parents. I don't think I would be in this situation and hanging out with you guys and talking to you guys and having the opportunity to facilitate a lot of this stuff had I not learned from them and watching them. Particularly my dad, who facilitates a lot and has kind of made it a life goal to get very good at facilitating, and I think he's pretty close to being accomplished. So getting to watch him kind of do his thing is awesome. So I'm very lucky to have him and my mom.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
That is in. For those of you who haven't met Benny's parents, Patrick and I have both had the opportunity to get to know the Narstans, and it is an incredible experience anytime you get to talk to them. So that's fantastic.
When I introduced Benny, I wasn't kidding about the Bulldogs. There's three of them in their life. Benny was raised by Bulldogs.
I'm feeling grateful for Snickers, Bandit, and I'm blanking on Teddy.
Teddy.
I haven't had the chance to meet Teddy yet. That's awesome, Benny. I'm feeling particularly grateful this week for my coworkers. I came back from that amazing experience at Conclave, and we've had a week long of a staff of our admissions office staff retreat, and everyone has just been so vulnerable and willing to share their highs and lows and the feedback that they have for our office. And I've heard conversations and learned things about my coworkers that I've worked here for a year now and had no clue about some of the people that I have lunch with every single day. So it's been a really neat space to learn and grow from each other, learn from and grow with each other. And yeah, it's been a really powerful week in the office of admission at Drake University. So I'm feeling really grateful for them as I wrap up this Friday.
Yes. 30 minutes into the podcast, sending the grateful vibes. Thank you guys for jumping in there. So let's dive back in. The next question I wanted to dig into, because I think a lot of what we've been talking about is, you know, some of the undertones has been about the participants and the people that you're facilitating with, and how do you get the most out of the people that you're with. And so I'd love to hear from you two your take on, you know, what's the ideal group dynamic? How do you create that? And we'll start there, but then the next question would be, you know, how do you re-engage a disengaged group? So I'd love to hear a little bit of your thoughts on, you know, what does that ideal group look like, and how have you, what have you leaned on to create that?
Yeah, I've got something. If you're okay with me going first, Benny, we brought in a speaker this week to talk about just culture and you know, what creates a meaningful experience. And when we talked about this when we were getting ready to for Conclave, we talked about what is an event, right? Like it's a one-time experience. It happened once ever. You're only going to have the people who are in the room at that period in time and talking about that topic once. So recognizing that that's a special place is important. But what the speaker was talking about was, how do you create meaningful moments inside those spaces? And one of the tactics she shared that was that I know I've used in the past with facilitating is this idea of throwing out the script of when something's not going right or you feel like you're losing your audience, acknowledging that, being vulnerable in the moment and talking about what the plan is for the rest of the conversation and just addressing like, listen, it seems like we're more interested in this topic. Let's focus in on that. And one of the things that I've done to plan that is in a lot of leadership settings and professional development and personal development, a big topic is goals and how you go about creating goals. And I think everyone knows about SMART goals. And I loved to start off these sessions with different groups of college age students by having a flip chart piece of paper with SMART goals listed out there to start off the meeting. And you watch the students walk in and they see SMART goals and they kind of roll their eyes and they sit down and they're like, all right, this is another leadership development.
Mark, can you share what SMART stands for those who may be listening that are unfamiliar?
I can, and I'll do it begrudgingly. And it's specific, measurable, attainable. What's the R?
Relevant.
Relevant, and then the last one is timely. And that's nice, but they don't really give you a clear direction to go, and I personally hate them. And so what I do when these people
hot take.
Yeah. And so when these guys are walking in and they're sitting down and rolling their eyes, the first thing I do is, all right, who here has heard of SMART goals? Like, can anyone list it off for me? And like a few hands, go up and like someone's about to start. And I go, actually, hold on. Let's pause this for a second. And I tear down the chart and I crumple up the paper and I throw it to the side and I say, screw SMART goals. This is like, there's a better way to organize your plan for the future. Like let's set an intention, and then we talk about the why behind goals. Why is that something? Figuring out there's a number of ways to go about goal setting, but the strategy I use in place is objective strategies and tactics. So once you've set a clear intention, what's your objective? What is that measurable? I guess in some ways it is a SMART goal. But
you can't escape.
We're not talking about setting goals right now. We're talking about facilitating and getting your group back and literally throwing out the script there and repackaging something in a different way is a great way to, kind of have people thinking something's going to go one direction and, doing an about face and talking about something else is a great way to generate instant buy-in and get people listening.
Yeah, that's like intentional level setting. It's like you build something in that moment where people are like, oh, this man is deviating, or this person is deviating, and now I know like he cares about me or they care about me. Powerful, cool.
Yeah.
Benny, what would you say is your ideal group dynamic? And how do you create that, and then how do you re-engage the group that's disengaged? Oh, I think we lost Benny. Mark, I think it's you and I.
Oh man, Benny.
Oh my gosh. Well, what we can do is we will take a break. We'll take a break here. All right. So depending on how accurately I edit this for everybody who's listening, Benny transported to the fourth dimension. We lost him for a brief moment, and then he just found a black hole and traveled and found his way back. So Benny, welcome back.
Welcome back, Benny.
That was a hell of a trip, but I'm glad to be back.
Well, so speaking of re-engaging a disengaged group, since we lost you to a different dimension, what's your ideal group dynamic, and how do you re-engage a disengaged group?
So I cut out right as Mark was talking about his SMART goal trick. But I think I heard that story over the weekend. So awesome trick. But I think ideal group dynamic, high energy, as we were kind of talking about earlier. I think ideally they would be there, to get something out of it. Obviously, that's not going to be the case every time. But I think if we're being effective facilitators, everybody in the room should walk away with with something, whether or not they necessarily wanted to be there in the first place.
Okay, what have you leaned on to help ensure that somebody who may like visibly look disengaged, like how have you sort of like checked in to make sure that they're getting a takeaway? What does that look like in your practice?
I think somebody like that, the biggest thing is to not call them out in front of the group. I think that'll only get them more disengaged. So I think it's during breaks, whether that's a water break or a bathroom break or whatever, kind of just pulling them aside and, you know, making sure that they're getting something out of it, or making sure that they're at least paying attention. They're not distracting from the larger group as a whole as well.
I love that.
How do you get them to like just be in that space of thinking about the end of the session and like what they're going to be taking away? What do you do at the beginning to set the tone for like just having takeaways at the end? Like, what do you talk about anything in that space?
Yeah. I mean, I think at the beginning, obviously, as a facilitator, you have your own goals and your own things that you want to get out of, or want the participants to get out of it. But I think it's important to listen to what they get out of it as well. So in the beginning, setting expectations, but ideal outcomes, and figuring out what the participants want to get out of the session, and then making sure you cover them, or if you're not going to cover them, at least be straightforward and transparent and say, hey, like, I wish we could cover X topic. Unfortunately, we don't have enough time, but I'm happy to, you know, connect with you on the phone or via email to kind of discuss that further. So I think setting those expectations up front will keep them more engaged, because they won't be disappointed if they don't hear a topic that they wanted to talk about.
I love that, Benny. And just to acknowledge you, I think you do an incredible job of being really direct with people about where your group is going and what's going to happen. And you do embody transparency in every session that you facilitate. And I think for some people, so, you know, I'll lump Mark in with me. I don't know if that will be fair. He can correct me.
No, we're on the same page. Yeah,
Mark and I definitely are not the most direct people. So I think that's definitely a quality that we admire in your facilitation style. And I think the note that you made about pulling people aside, it reminds me of like the Dale Carnegie quote or the Dale Carnegie maxim on in How to Win Friends and Influence People, about praising people in public and criticizing in private. And that's how you win your group over, or win the individual over to re-engage and rejoin. And so I think that's awesome. And also the note you made, Benny, about asking people at the beginning of like, and getting buy-in of what they're looking for, and then for you then being transparent with how you're going to make that happen is such a powerful tool. Cool. Mark, you stole my next question. And so we're transitioning now to, you know, talking about like, how do you wrap up your session or your moment, and making sure that people seal in the learnings and the takeaways that they're supposed to get and close. So my question to both of you is, you know, what's your process like to seal in and to make the experience matter? And then what's the close look like? How do you wrap it all up?
I think it's just being very intentional, like you said, about making sure that there's takeaways at the end of the session. That's maybe the most important part of the session is the end. So that after an hour or 2 hours or however long you're facilitating, they actually take something away from it. So I think it's important not just to wait till the end too. If you're breaking up your session into smaller pieces, do a little bit of a takeaway debrief at the end of each one of those, so that they're able to digest in smaller chunks what's going on.
What was great?
I love that, reinforcing.
What was great at Conclave was, Benny, I imagine you were doing that at the end of every session. That's what I was doing. I'm very confident that, Pat, you were doing that too. And at the very end, when I went back and asked them, all right, who was the first speaker? What were your takeaways? I intentionally didn't remind them who the first speaker was, but the guys in the room knew immediately. Their takeaways weren't just things they learned in the session, but they were talking about things they were going to do. So when you're doing that consistently, when you're asking them what their takeaways are, it's not just things that are theoretical. Over the period of those 4 days that we were leading these sessions, these guys were taking away things that they were going to put into practice. And so while in the moment, like after just a single session, it might just be something they learned. But when we did the wrap up for the entire weekend, your takeaways were things that they were going to put into practice. And that was so inspiring to hear, because I knew, I mean, that is just so much more powerful than just having a quote memorized or knowing that your brain works a certain way. But knowing that, you know, those guys were going to put things into practice. Their takeaways weren't just takeaways. They were takeaways that were going to be acted upon. And that's the goal. That's what you want to
spaces. Yeah, I think that's huge. I know when I did my takeaways at the end of the 3 days that I was with my group, I only let them say things that they were going to take back to their chapters. Or if they said a quote, I immediately followed up with, okay, then what do you go do with that? Cause like you said, if they don't do any action, if it's not actionable, it doesn't really matter.
Yes.
I think like
direct to action.
I think one thing that I would like to do more of as a facilitator, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like we have these super powerful sessions over 3 days or over a weekend or whatever, and then the guys go back and they're kind of just in their own world again, and there's no follow-up from the facilitators. I know that we all created Facebook groups, so hopefully that could help, but that's something that in the future I'd like to do more of, is even if it's one or two guys, that's a way bigger impact on, you know, those two guys than just a weekend of facilitating.
Yeah, I love that. Mark, do you have like something from this past week that you'd like to do more of, or an opportunity that you saw for yourself?
I actually just had a phone call last night with one of the undergrads. He's going to be a junior next year. He's the vice president of membership development, so the Balanced Man program. He's the guy for his chapter that is implementing the Balanced Man program. And so I had a conversation with him last night to talk about his personal goals and what he wanted to do. He sought me out. He reached out, and guys, that fourth dimension is crazy.
Mark, you back?
I'm back.
What happened?
I went into
the gremlins get you?
I went into the fourth dimension. You wouldn't believe the colors there.
All right. Well, we are officially back. Mark, welcome back from the fourth dimension. All right, where we left before we took our break was, you were telling us the story about the undergraduate who reached out to you, and you were getting ready. You had a conversation with him last night.
Yeah, and we just talked about his goals personally, outside of SIGEP, outside of his fraternity, and just what he wanted to get out of life. And we didn't really dive too much into it, but we just kind of set the parameters of what him and I wanted to talk about in future conversations. And it was really neat to have that. But then I also, in the fourth dimension, before I realized that's where I was, I went on to talk about just sending out a simple follow-up email, you know, recapping those takeaways that they have. I tried to keep it to the three most powerful takeaways from each session as well. And then I also included the slide decks as well as the contact information for the facilitators. So I wanted to make sure they had all the tools that they needed to be able to find everything that they took away from those sessions, as well as the ability to get more information.
I really appreciate both the notes that you two have made about follow-up and, you know, in a moment of vulnerability, that is entirely my area of weakness as a facilitator, is the intentional follow-up, the resources, the driving people to action. And so just you both, like role models in the follow-up world, like I think that's truly what makes the difference for people in turning ideas into action.
Yeah, and Patrick, I'm gonna maybe be a little harsh right now, but something I learned about this week, in the staff retreat that we've had back here at Drake, is something that people like you and me, who are really excited and in the moment and try to be where our feet are at all times, something that we lose sight of is that time management, being on time with things and following up and doing what we say we're going to do, is comes from a place of respect, and it's almost disrespectful to be late to thing. It is disrespectful to be late, but then it's also, you know, you're not considering the person waiting for you's time, whether it's showing up to an event late or turning something in late. And that really changed my mindset for it's in my mind is still in the process of being changed on this topic, and I'm still in the process of putting that into action, but that's really helped me understand that, oh, being on time with assignments and being on time to different functions, it really comes not from a place of I don't know, being anal retentive and having to have everything in order, but from a genuine place of caring about the person that's anticipating your arrival or your product's arrival.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think when you talk about like integrity like that, like the impact that that has on your credibility as a speaker or as a facilitator is like that creates a group's belief in you. But even like for our case, when we're sort of emceeing these experiences, like that creates the trust for these different guest facilitators to come in and speak and deliver content.
Yeah.
And so I think like incredible point there. And I think, you know, that's definitely an area where I have a lot of room and opportunity to put into action more. So I really appreciate you bringing that up, Mark.
And Benny, any pointers you have on that front, we'd be all ears.
I don't really have any pointers.
Be on time.
Yeah. Some other time.
So Mark, when you started time traveling, it scrambled my brain a little bit, but I have two quick questions for you both. And Benny, make sure that I got these right. The first, I guess we'll start with the one. Can you two both share like a flop story? So a time when you were facilitating or speaking and things went really sideways.
Yeah, I've got one that immediately comes to mind. It was my senior capstone. I studied public relations, and we spent the entire year coming up with a public relations plan for a nonprofit here in Des Moines. And at the we gave a final presentation to the nonprofit. And the night before, we were doing a run through with my entire cohort of public relations students who I had been going to school with for 4 years, the entire journalism faculty and staff, as well as a few alumni mentors that had been coaching us throughout the year. They were all there for the final walkthrough. There was like pizza and soda, and it was kind of a celebration and a time to really enjoy this almost coming to an end, to be a little bit more like lighthearted of approach to the presentation, which kind of was designed to look a little bit like a Steve Jobs Apple presentation. And I was trying to get in that mindset, and I was super nervous, and I hadn't really had a whole lot of practice in public speaking at this point. And I got my metaphors mixed up, and I blacked out and gave this presentation and then came back to at the end. But I had one memory in the middle of everyone just cracking up laughing, to the point where one of our professors had to say, like, hey, if you guys could keep it down, let's ring it back in, Mark, you know, the floor is back to you. And afterwards, I turned to one of my partners on the project. I was like, well, what did I say? What happened? And they go, well, and they didn't, they said, well, you mixed up your metaphors. I think we weren't really sure what you were trying to say, but what I had mixed up was I was trying to say spread your wings or reach your stride. And what I said was, this is the part of the project where you really start to spread your legs.
Oh man.
In a room full of 21-year-olds just started dying at that. And as soon as, you know, we're still up there getting feedback from the audience when my teammate tells me what I had said, and my face just goes entirely red, and I just had to walk out of the room. I just couldn't believe what I had said in front of all of these people that I respect. It's terrifying.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy you're still here, man, in the space.
Yeah. I could have never come back from public speaking again after that, but got back on the horse and learned how to be present well in a room full of, you know, 50, 60 people.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've spent a lot of time inventing like different strategies to help you get in that space too.
And I guess the biggest thing that I learned that, looking back, I wish 21-year-old Mark would have had in that scenario is is eye-brain contact. This idea that your brain can't handle looking at a room full of 50 people trying to communicate with all of them, but it can communicate with one person really well. So if you just make eye contact with one person while you're speaking, it gets you back on track. And I've used that so many times where I feel lost or like I lost the point while giving a presentation. I find that if I just make eye contact with one person in the audience, it comes back to me pretty quick.
Well, that's awesome. Benny, are you ready? What's your flop story?
Yeah. So I remember, so the three of us, on top of being Conclave facilitators, also the three of us traveled for SIGEP for a year at least, as regional directors, kind of consultants for local chapters, and did a lot of facilitating in that role. And I remember one workshop in particular, a chapter that had just lost a lot of members due to the national fraternity holding them accountable. Kind of did like a re-kickoff of the chapter. And there was about 20 members, a couple alumni in the room. Nobody wanted to be there. None of them wanted to be there. I still am not sure what I could have done to make them be there. But I remember the room was very clearly that they didn't want to be there. It was kind of awkward the entire time. It didn't really accomplish much at all. So I always now try to, one, make sure a room is never that awkward. And two, I think,
create your audience. That's
yeah.
Good.
I think too, knowing I should have been more aware going into it. That's how it was going to be. And looking back, probably should have tried to pull one or two guys aside, beforehand or gotten lunch with them or something just to try and get them on my side to at least have a few willing participants to hopefully get more out of the entire experience. So looking back, that I think, yeah, just knowing your audience and knowing going into it, it might be a tough room, and figuring out how can you get a few people on your side before it even starts.
Oh man. So know the room and then get people on, like be able to build the engagement before the event even happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Okay, huge. I lied. I have two more questions for you both. So this next one, it'll probably be pretty quick. But in the early conversations with you two over this past week, and thinking about this podcast, one of the things that I thought could be really powerful is, like, you know, you both have an incredible amount of experience, and you know, pay attention to a lot of like the people that are you know, some of the role models and icons in this space. And I started to think about the quote, you know, if you want to be like your mentors or your heroes, then read the books that your mentors read. And I'm totally paraphrasing the quote, and I honestly couldn't attribute it. I don't know who to attribute it to. I think it was from Tim Ferriss or somebody like that. But so for you two, like, who are the speakers or the facilitators or the experience creators that you admire or look up to or consider role models? Like, who are the people that you look up to?
Well, you've got me thinking about authors, and someone that I follow on social media and have read most of his books is Ryan Holiday, who talks a lot about Stoic philosophy. And the book that he wrote that really changed my life is called The Obstacle is the Way. And before I read that book, I was just a wandering optimist. And I understand.
Ooh, that understand, is a great name.
Yeah. And it was just like, I was just happy for no reason. But now just the tagline of that book is The Timeless Art of Turning Obstacles into Opportunities. And the main idea that's presented in there is that when you're presented with an obstacle, it's only an obstacle if you choose to view it that way. And being able to have the presence of mind when I'm presented with something that seems challenging to take a different look at it or change my perspective or try and rethink about why I'm viewing it as an obstacle has really created a lot of opportunities for me to, instead of having to ask someone for help, although asking for help is so important in so many spaces, but it's given me the opportunity to think critically about something a little bit more before saying, I can't do this. Right when something starts to feel difficult, you got to recognize that and figure out, all right, how is this thing that is an obstacle, how is it actually an opportunity to move forward?
Man, for everybody out there who considers themselves a wandering optimist and to be able to say, like, no, I'm not some frivolous, like, everything is sunshine and rainbows, but actually I am purposely choosing to view this challenge as an opportunity, and I'm intentionally cultivating that mindset. That is power, man. And that is like for, you know, I'm a bleeding optimist myself. So I totally identify with this. And so I'm like, man, like, that's so powerful. It's like, no, I'm choosing to see this because I now have power over the situation, and it's less of I'm some frivolous person out of control wandering. I am taking ownership and control of the life that I want to live. Whoa, man. Oh, yeah. God, Mark, you fired me up.
That, the whole book is that whoa moments. It's just great.
I love it. I love it. Benny, who are the speakers, the facilitators, or the experience creators that you admire or look up to or consider a role model?
Yeah, I think one that stands out right away is Seth Irby, who I know that both of you worked with this past week. He was able to present to your groups. I did not have the opportunity to watch Seth present this past week, but I have seen him in the past present. I forget exactly what his speech was called, but I remember it was in a room of about 750 people on kind of the state and the future of the fraternity. And he kept all 750 of those people engaged and incredibly engaged the entire time.
I was like sitting on the edge of people were sitting on the edge of their seat for the whole 20 minute keynote.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was one of the best speeches I've ever seen. And again, I mean, I remember some of what he said. I don't remember the vast majority of it, but I remember the feeling walking away from that, like, all right, we have to do something to change, which I think was the point of the entire thing, was to kind of get that feeling. So he obviously accomplished that. But I think more so than that, his ability to keep 750 to 1,000 people actively engaged for, like you said, like 20 minutes was incredible.
Absolutely. And I think the quote that I think about is people don't remember what you say, but they remember how you make them feel. And in the way that you're saying, Benny, is like people remembered how they were supposed to feel, which was things need to dramatically change. Yep. And to be able to make the emotion, like the evoked emotion, to be the key takeaway, like that is speaking power for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
One of the things Seth talked about this week, and Benny, I totally agree with you. He's definitely someone I look up to for you know, I want to be more like him every single day. And
oh man, he's gonna listen to this, and he's gonna tell everybody that we were talking about him. Oh my gosh, but I'm tagging him when we send this out, Seth Ruby, you're getting a good shout out, man.
One of the things he talked about in our sessions this weekend was the power of stories and how he opens up every time he's in front of a room of people. He opens up with a story because you can, and he describes this better in his presentation, but there are so many things you can talk about, and you can list things in order, and there's the power of threes, but you're going to remember a vivid story that someone tells with details and emotions and sights and sounds and smells. When you get the brain activated in that way, it's a completely different experience. And so opening up with a story is so much more engaging than introducing yourself and your credentials. So going back to the beginning of this podcast, if I can amend the introduction for me that I would prefer, it'd be a story that someone has for me. And speaking of introductions, this is an opportunity for me to apologize to Seth for the horrible introduction I gave him. There's a lot was happening. I'm a little flustered, and there's a lot of opportunity for growth on that front. So, I hope this is making up a little bit for that stuff.
that's great. And you made me remember, so like testament to like people remember stories. The story Seth told was about a man who got his kidneys stolen. And then he stopped the story. And then everyone's like, well, what happens to the guy? Like, he got his kidneys stolen. Are they on the black market? How's he going to get them back? He has 30 minutes to live. What are we going to do? So like, this is a week later, and there's been a million life experiences that happened between now and then. So the fact that still resonates with me is like, man, that really is the power of story. If you can put something compelling like that, you're going to remember the person who has their kidneys missing, who has 30 minutes left to live and is sitting in a bathtub full of ice. Like, whoa, vivid, crazy.
Yeah. Is nuts. I'm still thinking about it too. I want to know what happened. I don't even think it's a real story, but I need a conclusion.
Bonus point to anybody who's listening who sends in a voice message with the conclusion of the story of the man who is sitting in a bathtub, missing his kidneys, and has 30 minutes to live and gets a phone call from a mysterious source. Bonus points for anybody who sends in a story.
Yes.
Okay, so I have one more question for you all, and I figured this was going to be a really powerful way to conclude our time together, because it has been thank you both for one being one of the big instigators and sources of inspiration to make this happen, but also thank you both for taking the time out of your Friday afternoon to hop on the phone and to swap meaningful stories like this, all to help people generate more meaningful experiences. Like, this has been such a fun time.
This was awesome.
So let's bring this home. So I'd love for you to, let's send this away with sharing of an impactful moment for you as a facilitator. So, you know, what happened and what was the impact and how did you create that? So like, it could be recent, it can be whenever, but share something that happened for you as a facilitator that was really impactful.
Sure. I could go first if you don't mind, Mark.
Rock and roll, Benny.
All right. So I mentioned before that we were regional directors, and obviously that was my flop story, but an impactful story. One of my favorite times facilitating. I was doing a recruitment workshop for a chapter that was about 20 guys at the time. They were really struggling. Didn't really know where they were going to find their next new members, and had been struggling for a while. So we did a recruitment workshop, had met the guys before and had visited them before. And after the workshop, I remember, a couple of them, including their president, came up to me and said, thank you. And people thank facilitators a lot, but I could tell that they were genuine. They really did appreciate it. And I could tell that they were empowered to go out and do something about it. Which I think at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, right? Like we don't facilitate just to get up there and hear ourselves talk. We go out and facilitate to make a difference, to empower somebody to go do something better for their life or better for their chapter or make a change in their life. So being able to see that they were actually empowered to do that, and then seeing the results where they went out and got about 15 new members, so almost 200% of their chapter, or almost 100% of their chapter. So they, not only were they empowered, but they actually went out and did something about it. Like that, I still remember that workshop and walking away from that feeling awesome and knowing that they felt great too, and then went out and did something about it.
I love it. That's such a good point, Benny. Like, it really is like the long term, the almost like the trickle, the long term effect that you see, and that's what becomes the most rewarding. And it may not be. It feels good to get like, hey, thanks for facilitating, but it's like, you know, the 1 week, the 2 weeks, the 4 months later, when you see somebody take an idea that you helped them get to and run with it and apply it to themselves. I think that like such a beautiful story of impact there. Mark, share a story of an impactful moment. What happened? What was the impact? Mark, did you go to the fourth dimension? Are you still with us?
It was so impactful. Okay. Breath away.
Yep.
Guys, I'm
Mark, are you back?
Yes. Yeah. Benny, okay. Wow, that was so cool to see such a change in actionable result come from that.
Yeah.
That's powerful. So you were kicking it to me, Pat.
Yes. Now that you're back from the fourth dimension.
Yeah.
How was the second trip? Second trip better than the first?
You know, it's a little boring the second time.
Yeah, take us away, boss.
This is so engaging. I wanted to come back. So, so actually, it's something that just happened. I came back to Drake on Monday after this weekend experience. Down in Houston at our conference, and one of the things that we talked about before we even left for Texas was, what's the tone we want to set? How do we want to create an engaging, vibrant environment? And how do we get our participants in the right mindset? And that's not something I've ever thought about before with an event. And coming back to Drake, I was thinking, well, usually we, you know, have a few different speakers come. We have the basketball coach pump up the crowd. We have professors come and talk about their programs. We have a tour guide give them a tour of campus. But we don't ever really ask the students to really, like, we hope they engage, but we don't tell them to engage, right? And so we had a welcome reception where you check in, get your name tag, and have some, you know, coffee and like a muffin. And, you know, I'm my job at this event is to mingle and talk with families. And I was talking to a high school student. His name was Jacob, him and his dad. And if I'm being honest, Jacob looked a little nerdy, and that's fine. And I just was so pumped up talking to him. And I wanted him to be excited about the day. So I was really excited about him. And I was asking him what he was interested in, what he was involved with, what he was excited about for college. And he really started to open up there about those things, when at first he was pretty, shoulders hunched over and not really interested in talking with this stranger who had a ton of energy at 8 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, you're a scary dude at 8 in the morning, Mark, if you're not ready for that.
It's the cold showers, man. It's better than any cup of coffee you'll ever have. But so he started to open up a little bit. And then I just told him, I was like, Jacob, like, Drake is a very welcoming community. And today, as a guest, like, you're a part of that community. And I really encourage you to get to know the other students that are looking at campus today. Get to know your tour guide, ask questions of the professors. Like, I just want to invite you to do that. That's something that, I know when I was on these tours, it was sometimes difficult or awkward to do those things. But this is a pretty welcoming environment. You're a part of it. Like, don't be afraid to do those things. And at the end of the day, we had a farewell reception where, instead of coffee, we had, like fruit punch and cupcakes or whatever. And Jacob is busy walking around talking to everyone. We have like different booths set up from different parts of campus. And he's walking around talking to all of these different things, taking notes, jotting things down in his phone. And his dad came up to me and just said, I've never seen him be this engaged before. Like, this is in his entire life. Like, he's been so active and talking to different people. He's just been ready to participate in so many different things. Like, thank you so much. I don't think if he had talked with you this morning that this would have happened. And he started to tear up a little bit. And it just was so powerful to think all you had to do was invite this student to participate. And sometimes that's all people need. They just need someone who's standing out on a limb to invite you to join them. And that was huge.
That was like a total behavior change, man. And I think that's such a power of like the one-on-one impact.
Yeah. So I am really hoping to, I don't know. I left for Conclave kind of liking my job, came back one day of doing this, and I'm just in love. It's amazing. The opportunity I get every day to work with high school students and get to know them is just so powerful and so important.
That's incredible. And kudos to you, Mark, for continuing the energy and making that happen for Jake. That's awesome. Jake, I hope you hear this, man, and I hope you carry on the torch that Mark passed on.
Yes. Yeah. Jake, I love you, man. So excited for you to come to Drake or wherever you go. It's great.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to, again, just say thank you both for being like the intrepid journeyman to the people that say yes, to be like, Patrick, like, this idea is cool. Let's make this happen. And also just like to be really key people to help shape this concept. And like, we wouldn't have had this incredible conversation if us three didn't get a chance to co-facilitate, create a really powerful experience for college students and say, hey, let's tell this story to a bunch of people through a digital audio format. Like, this has been absolutely beautiful. So thank you both for bringing your energy, your insight, and your stories to help empower the next group of people. Like, seriously, this has been amazing.
Yeah, and thank you, Patrick, for leading the way, for doing it, and we're just happy to follow.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to give a shout out to everybody who's listening. And for you two, like, we can definitely talk feedback, send me your feedback. For anybody who's listening, if there are questions that you liked or there were things that you think could be better, please send me a note, whether that's, on social media or whether that's an email, or send me a voicemail. Bonus points for anybody who sends a voicemail. But other than that, Mark, Benny, this is where I get to insert the tagline. Are you ready? This is the surprise.
Oh, yes.
Here we go.
About it. Let's
yeah.
Go.
Thanks, everybody, for coming, and have a conscious day.
Oh. Yes. Woo. Have a conscious day, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, Patrick.